Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, the Racing Post audio horse racing podcast. It's Monday, the 11th of July. We are hitting the hottest week of the year so far. And we've had some red hot performances from the July Festival at Newmarket, which we will be looking back at today, along with other racing from the weekend. My name's Sam Hart, and as always, I'm joined by a great panel, which will be Maddie Playell and Rosie Margeson this week. Maddie, the Monday podcast, or the postcast, has lost you now to the front page, which is a great show and something a bit different for our YouTube viewers. Tell our listeners who haven't seen it as of yet what the show entails.
Oh, thanks, Sam. Yeah, you're deputising very well. So essentially, there's a panel of three and possibly in the future more guests. And each week we discuss three stories that we think are important, influential, from the past week, and talk about why we think they should be on our Racing Post front page. That's the format, although it's not strict, and it's really just a vehicle to enable us to talk about and analyse some of the big stories from the week. So yeah, we've just recorded this week's, and it was quite lively, so I advise everyone to give it a go a little bit later on.
Always plenty of interesting topics on the front page. Do check that out and subscribe to the Racing Post YouTube channel so you don't miss a thing. And Rosie Margeson is back on the postcast. It was some weekend for you, and obviously Team Margeson. We'll discuss that in detail in a second. But what a gutsy performance from Ropey Guest in the Bunbury Cup.
I know, he just never stops trying. He's a dream to have in the yard. You wouldn't know he was in training, so he's the best.
Yeah, looking forward to discussing that in just a bit. So on this week's show, we'll be splitting it into three parts. We'll look back at the July Festival in part one, and then the Saturday action from York and Ascot in part two. And then in part three, we'll look briefly back at the Prix Jean Prat from Deauville and get the ladies' naps for the week ahead. So let's start things off with the July Festival, which is a bit of a forgotten festival, but each year delivers some special performances. We'll look back quickly at one race on the Friday, which was the Foul Mistakes. This was won by Prosperous Voyage. The main talking point from the race was that the 1-7 favourite in Spiral really did underperform. Rosie, do you think it was just the bounce-back factor with Spiral and this came a bit too soon after Royal Ascot?
No, I think the ground was too firm for him. In my humble opinion, it was solid on that Friday. It was Friday, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's run away with me. It wasn't just firm. It was very firm because the sun had been beating down on it. The Saturday, it was a bit more forgiving because they'd watered it and it wasn't sunny in the morning. And I really just think it was very firm. There is that uphill bit as well at Newmarket. It's a hard track. And I think maybe she was just looking after herself. But it was such a shame to see her beaten because we all want another unbeaten, don't we? It's so exciting to have one. So it was kind of a bit heartbreaking, but that's racing.
Yeah, I don't think we saw the true Spiral. And I think the French horse as well, Sabila Spain, really, really struggled on that ground as well. I think the plan with that horse there is to go back to France. Then potentially, speaking to the trainer, they may go for the QE2 on Champions Day, where they may encounter some soft ground. So that will be interesting. Now, Maddie, let's take nothing away from Prosperous Voyage. She was second in the Fillies Mile at 16-1 as a two-year-old, 33-1 second in the 1,000 guineas, and has won the Falmouth at 16-1. It's fair to say she's a bit of an underestimated horse.
She is, and for me, the main thing about her is just her brilliant attitude. She chased home in Spiral in the Mayhill and in the Fillies Mile as a two-year-old as well, remember? Mm. So that's another sort of piece of information to support the fact that this form perhaps isn't going to stand up in the long term, but that doesn't mean she wasn't a worthy winner. And yet, to me, it's just her attitude. She was joined by a few of her rivals and actually headed, I think, over a furlong out, but she just kept battling back. And as Rosie said, I do think the ground had something to do with Inspiral's defeat, but also I would put a little bit of thought into what you said about the bounce factor. Of course, she hadn't been seen for 252 days, missed the guineas, missed a couple of assignments before she went to Ascot in the Coronation Stakes, where she just blew them all away. On Racing Post ratings, this was a big 10 plus step down from what she'd shown there. So I'm not sure this form's necessarily going to get confirmed, but it was a really good effort from Prosperous Voyage. And I also thought Sandrine showed much more as well. So there could be races to win with her before the end of the season.
Yeah, Prosperous Voyage does hold an entry in the Sussex Stakes, but Rafe Beckett was very keen on keeping the horse at Newmarket and going for the Sun Chariot Stakes. It sounds like the plan with that horse there. But yeah, hopefully Inspiral does bounce back, and I'm sure that will be the case. Now let's move on to Saturday's action now, and we'll start off with the Group 2 Superlative Stakes. This was won by Isaac Shelby with Victory Dance, a very narrow second for the Godolphin team. Line of War was quite disappointing as well. Maddie, it's great to see Brian Meehan have a top quality flat horse like this. Both the first and second are now best price 25-1 for next year's 2,000 guineas. I think in time the second may turn out to be the better horse. Is there any agreement there?
I'm not so sure. I would question the strength of this Superlative Stakes in the form. It was a lovely performance, though, from Isaac Shelby. Take nothing away. And again, he showed a great attitude. I think the way he's been produced by Brian Meehan is brilliant. Obviously won his first race and then came straight here. And of course, he runs in those brilliant Sangster colours of the Mountain Thoroughbred. So great to see those in front again. And he just knew his job so well in the closing stages. There was no messing around. He put his head down and he tried. You mentioned Line of War disappointing. I thought his wide margin win at Newcastle was a bit of a red herring, if I'm honest. I know it's easy to say now, but it's very easy for the distances to be exaggerated at that track. And this clearly didn't suit him because he was wandering around all over the place. I think we'll see stronger pieces of juvenile form in the coming months. And I wouldn't be interested in either Isaac Shelby or the second for next year's Classics just yet.
Okay, interesting. Rosie, you were there on Saturday. Obviously, Victory Dance looks an absolute picture heading down to pose. A half-brother to Skitter Scatter, who is a very speedy type. But this horse looks like potentially a step up in trip may improve him.
I'd say so, yeah. He looked very strong, but just didn't... I think they were dancing for a bit together, weren't they, at the end. The two of them sort of clashed a little bit. So I wouldn't put much between them, to be fair. I'd like to see them run against each other again. I wouldn't mind knowing who would come out on top.
Yeah, it would be interesting. It'd be interesting. I think that the plan will be to get Victory Dance up to a mile as soon as possible. Like I say, a step up in trip really will improve that horse. Let's go on to a race that I'm looking forward to reviewing now, which is the Bunbury Cup. Now, this was the big handicap from the July Festival. This was won by Bless Him, who did very Bless Him things and came from the back, cut through and finished like a steam train under Jamie Spencer. But Ropey Guest was in second, Jumbie in third. Rosie, we have to start with you here. Let's take nothing away from David Simcock's stable star, but Ropey Guest, tell our listeners a bit about this boy.
Well, the nickname Chubby seems to be ahead of Ropey these days. I don't think anybody knows his real name. ITV were calling him Ropey, Chubby all the way. It was very entertaining. He's just a very hardy horse, but then as is Bless Him, I mean, he's 8 years old. Chubby's five now, so they're both, you know, they've been there, done that, got the T-shirt, and... I mean, fair play to Jamie. He was pretty ballsy in what he did. But equally, Callum Hutchinson, who was riding Ropey, a £5 claimer, stunning ride he gave him, I thought. He waited. He did exactly what Dad had told him to do. And the horse had every chance. We just got slightly outdone by one running in late. And that's how it is. But I mean, he's been second out Royal Ascot, second on the July Festival, you know. We're headed for the International on King George Day and we're very hopeful third time's a charm. He might actually, you know, get it this time. But I think I'll be leading him up on that day because Katie is, who's usually his partner in crime, is doing an Ironman. So
oh, right.
If he does win and I'm leading him up, she may never forgive me. But I want him to win, but equally I'll feel terrible. So that's where I'm at.
Okay, the International Stakes will be next on King George weekend. That'll be exciting. Currently 16-1 for that race there. Maddie, what did you make of the Bunbury Cup this year?
Yeah, I'm going to touch on the July course as a track in our next race that we review, I think. And I think sometimes results can be a bit muddling depending on where you're drawn and the pace of the race. But look, if a horse was made for Jamie Spencer, I think it would be Bless Him. He won the Britannia quite a few years ago now in similar sort of last to first style, and indeed at Ascot when he beat Lord North. So this is a horse with a lot of ability, and he just had the perfect conditions to showcase it once again under a great Spencer ride. As Rosie said, Ropey Guest ran an absolute cracker, and I think yeah, Callum Hutchinson deserves a mention, doesn't he? Because he rode Coltrane to win the Ascot Stakes and gave him such a great ride. So he's definitely a jockey for listeners to keep on side. Of those in behind, I thought Crift Turn ran a really good race, travelled strongly and will be of interest when stepped back up to a mile for the Heritage Handicap at York he won last year.
Okay, yeah. It will be Callum Hutchinson is some jockey. He really is. Definitely one to be looking out for moving forward. And you mentioned a horse made for Jamie Spencer, bless him. He had two on the day, really, because Artorias was another that was probably made for him for the Australian team. And that's the race we'll move on to next, which was the feature of the July Festival. It was the Group 1 July Cup Stakes. This was over 6 furlongs and won by Alcohol Free. Now, who saw this coming? Well, Paul Keighley did in the paper that morning. Look, she's a magical filly, Alcohol Free. She's been a bit disappointing this season prior to the July Cup, but look, she's a Cheveley Park Stakes winner, a Coronation Stakes winner, a Sussex Stakes winner, and now a July Cup winner. Now, Rosie, has she announced herself as one for the sprinting division? Although the owner has said, why not take on Baid? So it sounds like the South Downs is where she heads next to defend her crown in the Sussex Stakes. Is she just like an all-round filly between 6 furlongs and a mile now?
She seems to be. I mean, she's quite versatile. And now she seems to have grown up a little bit in the last sort of year or so. It's such a hard transition when you go from 2 to 3 to 4. You know, it's very hard to do. Now she's a 4-year-old, she'll have finished doing what she's doing, and she seems like she's much more mentally up for it. She looked quite chilled actually in the paddock, from what I saw anyway, and she seemed very happy when she got back in. But you can run her over anything, you know, it'll either happen or it won't, I think, is the not any
it's great. It's great from Jeff Smith though, isn't it, to go, yes, well, let's, you know, she's a filly who's won a couple of Group Ones over a mile. Let's step her back down to 6 furlongs, and oh, sod it, why not? Let's go back up to a mile again. I think it's great, brave campaigning.
Yeah, and it's a good way to do it, because then you're in all the top races you want to be in. You're not, you know, restricted. But also, it is brave. But equally, if the filly's enjoying it, keep going.
Okay, Maddie, I'd be keen to hear your opinion on the whole race, but also what happened to the favourite, Perfect Power, who never really looked comfortable at the back. What did you make of Perfect Power's performance in the race?
Yeah, he was disappointing. I think Christophe Soumillon blamed the ground being too fast, so it wouldn't maybe just be in Spiral, who was inconvenienced by the surface on the July course over the last couple of days. He seemed quite slowly away for me and was just never given a proper chance. So I'd forgive him that effort, although it could be that sort of the precocious part of his ability is now being sort of eroded away as time goes on. This race, I think we need to talk about the draw. The three first finishers were from 14, 13 and 12. Now that's as blatant a bias as you will ever see. So there was clearly, you know, a pace advantage by being near Naval Crown, who finished second. Artorias did well again, coming from behind. And Alcohol Free was always on that far side of the track as well. So I think, therefore, you can upgrade two runs. And they're both fillies and mares, double or bubble, for the Chris Wall team. She ran a career best here, I think, if she continues to improve and at a more suitable track on perhaps slightly more testing ground, she can put in an improved performance. And Happy Romance was really outpaced in the early stages. She's another who is a strong stayer at this trip. Things just didn't fall right for her. But Alcohol Free, the first filly to win since Fleeting Spirit in 2009. I think this time of year is key to her. Rosie might be able to give a little bit more information, but we often see fillies find their form in the spring, summer. I don't know if that's to do with their hormones or their coat or just the weather or just because they're a bit quirky, which Alcohol Free definitely is.
Yeah.
She's very much a madam. And she's by no nay never as well. And although he gets horses to win on soft ground, this was obviously far different from that. His progeny can be a little bit hot and a bit quirky as well, so maybe that goes towards it. But yeah, be interested to see if Rosie can offer any insight into whether she thinks I'm talking rubbish or not on this being a good time of year for Alcohol Free.
No, you're completely right. Now that the weather seems to have levelled off and we are at warm weather, it makes such a huge difference to fillies and the older horses, I think. Probably why the 8-year-old hacked up the Bunbury Cup. It's just now they've got consistently warm weather, they've all acclimatised to it. Okay, it was exceptionally hot over the weekend, but once they're acclimatised to that kind of weather, they quite enjoy it. They let their coats go, they let themselves down. It's much easier for them to be warmed up. So I'd say, yeah, you're completely right. It's the time of year for fillies. And this is it.
I'm just going to jump in and say, Sam, if that's okay, I was really impressed by the race won by Jimi Hendrix, the handicap. I think that was strong form, lots of progressive types in there. It was another for Rob Hornby and another for Osiris on the Up in New Bay. He's 14-1 for the Golden Mile, I think. I'm not suggesting listeners go and jump on that price, but I'm looking forward to seeing where he and the horses he beat go next. I think that was a good race.
Yeah, the Golden Mile, yeah, you're right, 14-1 currently. For the race, it'll be interesting to see whether he takes up his position in the Golden Mile at Goodwood. Now, that's it for the review of Newmarket. Join us in just a couple of seconds and we'll look back at Ascot and York.
Don't miss the big kickoff in the Racing Post on Monday, July 25th. It's your best bet for the new season with unrivaled opinion from Racing Post Sport's top team of experts, plus all the odds and stats in the ultimate football guide. That's the big kickoff in the Racing Post on Monday, July 25th.
Welcome back to the Postcast from myself, Sam Hart, Maddie Playle and Rosie Margson. Super Saturday also brought to us action from Ascot and York. The one race we'll look at from Ascot is the Summer Mile. This was won by Chindit, although it looked as though Mutasavet was going to be winning that. Chindit was very brave. Now, Maddie, Chindit's a horse that I've just never got right. Whenever I fancied this horse, he gets beat. And then when I give up and stop fancying him, he goes and wins. What do you make of the race?
I have a bit of a gripe, a bit of a rant in this race, actually. I see what you mean with Chindit. He is hard to get right, but I think that's just because he's a very good horse and he's not exceptional. And over distances and over time, it's took time for them to work out how to campaign him and to win. For me, I got quite frustrated after this race with people saying it was a boost for Baid's form. I'm not sure that's technically true. I can see where they're coming from on face value, but I think it's quite a lazy thing to say. Chindit was entitled to win, and he did. You know, a form boost to me is if Real World would have bolted up in a strong Group 1. But this was a weak race. We know the mile in crop are quite weak with respect to Chindit and Mutasarbek and the rest of them. And on his rating and what he's done, he should have been winning this race. This wasn't an outstanding boost of form. You know, you've had a horse who's been beaten in Group 1s win a lower class race. To me, that's what he should be doing, with great respect. So I think it's quite lazy to say, oh, that's a form boost for Baid. It certainly, you know, is a feather in the cap of Baid that he's beaten a horse in good form who is, you know, going forward from his efforts from him. But I'm not sure I'd be as positive in terms of this reflecting on Baid. It was a good performance, though.
Yeah, Rosie, I kind of echo everything that Maddie said there. It probably wasn't the strongest Summer Mile we'll ever see. But look, it was a good finish. What did you make of the race?
I think, as you said, it was a great finish. I thought Mutasarbek, was going to get up and win. I was actually stood with Charlie Hills's groom in the middle of the Newmarket's parade ring, and she was screaming him on, said it was ironic to be chinned by Chindit. They had high hopes for theirs, but I mean, like you say, he's in great form, so ditto on what Maddie said.
Yeah, completely agree. Right, let's move away from Ascot then. Let's move on to York. It looked like a fantastic day up there at York. And we'll kick things off with the Group 3 John Smith's Silver Cup. This was a free runner affair, but it was an interesting tactical race this. Thunderous took off in front. Without a Fight sat in behind, then John Leaper was at the rear. Thunderous dropped out of things in the final couple of furlongs, and look, Without the Fight came through and won the race. John Leaper, as he did last time, stayed on very well for second. Without a Fight, Maddie, Ebor, Melbourne Cup, where is this horse's limit?
It's tough to say where his limit is. I'm not sure he is the next best thing. I wouldn't be rushing to support him for a Melbourne Cup, but he's very admirable, and he's, this season anyway, been doing everything you'd like to see. This could have been quite tactical, as you say, just the three runners, but I thought he was the most straightforward, and he was given a nice, confident ride to show what he could do, stretching away in the closing stages. But this isn't form that I'd be really keen to follow, given there were just the three runners, and I think Thunderous, we've seen him performing well, but we know where his ceiling is. And John Leaper, I'm not sure if he's got sort of mentality quirks, but he hasn't delivered on the promise we initially saw. I wonder if they'll geld him now. I know he's obviously got that illustrious pedigree being out of Snow Fairy, but if they're going to continue to race him, maybe he could pick up a stallion job somewhere along the line. But maybe it'd be interesting to see if he could produce more without a certain piece of equipment. But yeah, very admirable from without a fight. He would be a good standard setter in the ball for sure, and I think the race would suit him, but I'd be surprised if there wasn't a more progressive horse with something to offer in the handicap to beat him there.
Okay, yeah. John Leeper was a horse that everyone wants to see go and win again, and yeah, it would be interesting to see if they gelded this horse. I completely agree with you there, Maddie. Graham Robway said that the pace probably wasn't quick enough for John Leeper, Rosie. Do you think this horse is turning out to be a right old stayer?
Probably. It looks like it, doesn't it? And it would be nice to see...
He hung as well. I just don't like the way he races.
Poor old John Leeper.
Yeah, not a fan. Maddie's not a fan of John Leeper.
He was meant to be a Derby winner and then it all fell apart. I don't know. Yeah, everyone's had such high expectations for him. He's meant to do so much and he just hasn't really lived up to it. And I feel a bit sorry for him, really. But equally, you know, Ed's putting him in races like this. This should be a winnable race. But he's, like you say, it's a bit awkward. Okay. Which is a shame, but without a fight, it's a good thing. And I'd love to see him go for the Ebor, and it'd be fun if he went out to Melbourne Cup. But to be honest, everyone's been a bit put off going for the Melbourne Cup with what they're doing with the vet certs and stuff like that. Now it's so difficult to actually get out there. And you miss out on racing over here, so I'm not sure they would.
Okay, yeah, we'll obviously pay attention to see where they go next with or without a fight. So, yeah, be intrigued to know. Now, the big handicap on the card at York was the John Smith Cup handicap, which saw Ann Matt take the prize for Owen Burrows and Kevin Stott. The horse was last seen coming runner-up in the Cambridgeshire, Rosie. This was some performance off that kind of layoff.
Jeez, it was, wasn't it? Sorry, I would only just sort of really... It's quite a good horse, actually. It's quite consistent. I mean, when you look at his form, he's never been out the first three. It's remarkable, actually. He's done well to absolutely smash that up. He is an all-star. Yeah, no. Sorry, I've only just really looked at this one, which is absolutely terrible. My homework, Fanny. Rescue me.
I'll try and give it a go. I must admit, I was screaming at the TV for Kevin Stott to change his whip. We're seeing so much about interference rules, and I'm no jockey, and I appreciate it's not that straightforward, but this horse was drifting left and interfering. There was a steward's inquiry, and the result wasn't changed, but I just would have loved him to see switch his whip into his left hand just to see if that helped stop the horse drifting. This was another example of Owen Burrows' patient approach with horses. It does often pay off, so well done to that team. And Anmart's clearly a horse with more to give. He responded really well to pressure, I thought. This wasn't a stylish success. He was under the pump from some way out, and perhaps they'll look at going over further or over more testing trips with him. I think the Cambridgeshire is the perfect race for him, actually, because he gets a nice strong pace and then he can pick up off that and finish strongly. I went down to Newmarket recently to interview Jane Chappell-Heim, and she told me about Ted Intelligent, who she's done a fantastic job with to resurrect him. I think in the kindest way, he didn't win the best Group 1 in the world when he won the Prix Jean Prat a couple of years ago. And it's testament to her skills as a trainer that she's managed to get him back in this winning, in high-performing groove, obviously a second in the Royal Hunt Cup to Dark Shift. And then he replicated that performance here when he finished third, and he did really well in the circumstances because he didn't get a clear run. He was probably one of those disadvantaged by Anmut's slightly wayward passage. So keep your eye on Intelligence. It's not going to be easy. He's going to keep going up the handicap, but he is a smart horse, and well done to Jane and her team because they've done a great job with him.
Yeah, Jane's... Rosie, sorry, go on, Rosie.
Just agree with you. Yeah, Jane Chappell-Heim, for the amount of horses she's got in her yard, she's smashing it this year. She, you know, she was what, third in the Royal Ascot trainers rankings, you know, above people like John Gosden. She's just come out here this year, and you know, she's got a hell of a team behind her, and it's so nice to see someone like her doing so well.
Yeah, and she's great fun as well. And if I can, I will plug my interview that I did with her. If you are a member on our website, it's live in the interview section. And she was great fun.
Yeah, okay, yeah, do go check that out. I want to give a mention in this race as well for the jockey Kevin Stott, because those who have been on social media and Twitter would have seen that Megan Nichols, his partner, tweeted out saying that he was taking a break from social media for receiving kind of abuse online. It needs to stop. And I'm just glad that he nailed a couple of big ones.
In this race, is he taking a break from social media? Because of the response to this race, or just in
No, no,
general?
no. He's taken a break. It was actually, I think it was put out on the Thursday by Megan.
Jesus.
There was a tweet just saying that he had received, he couldn't stand it. And look, he's taken a break, which is fair play. Hope everything's well with Kevin. But it was great to see straight after that he's banged in a couple of big winners. So, he's a fantastic jockey, Kevin. I'm a big fan of him. So, looking forward to seeing what he can do in the future as well, and hopefully land some more big group races. Now, the final race we will look at before going into the final part of the postcast is the Listed John Smith's City of Wolves Stakes. Now, this was won by the unbeaten Royal Acclaim for the James Tait team. Maddie, this 3-year-old filly, she has a few entries upcoming. The Sapphire Stakes at the Curragh is probably going to come a bit soon, with that coming this Saturday. You have the King George Qatar Stakes, which she's currently 10-3 favourite for, or the Nunthorpe, which is 7-2 for. Which route do you think they'll end up going down?
They're going for the Nunthorpe. Yeah, that was
Oh.
confirmed yesterday. So they're returning straight back to the Knavesmire. Interesting story this, because I noticed earlier on in the year this filly had some really fancy entries, and I added her to my tracker, and then we just didn't see her. And when she won at Bath, my flatmate Catherine McRae was doing the report, and she spoke to James afterwards and asked sort of what do you think of this filly, and he was very bold and bullish considering she just won a race at Bath, and sort of said she's really really good. So we were kind of interested to see how she'd get on, and we were expecting her to run well, but this was an incredible performance really. She's got a high head carriage, which isn't something that I love to see, but look, it clearly doesn't stop her. She travelled so strongly, picked up easily. And this was just like a replay of Bath, but in a much better race. You know, you had a previous Nunthorpe winner in there in Winter Power, albeit she's not shown that form this year. But a Racing Post rating of 114 is pretty good. That's £1 better than Twilight Calls, who's probably one of Britain's best sprinters, has recorded the last twice. So she's right up there, and I think she's a worthy favourite. She does probably have more to prove against even better opposition, but let's be honest, off 5 furlong sprinters were put in their place by Nature Strip, and there's nothing of Nature Strip's quality going to turn up in the Nunthorpe. Maybe Dramatised would be of interest, obviously if she ran with all the weight allowances, but that might not happen. So Royal Acclaim, it's not a really really high standard of sprinters around at the moment, so she's definitely going to be up to this class, and I think she's a worthy favourite for James Tait. He had a good horse a couple of years ago now who won the Palace House Stakes, and he's already said that this filly's the fastest that he's trained, and that's with improvement to come, I guess. So I'm really excited to see her for the remainder of the season.
Well, I was going to say, did you think the 7-2 is a bit of an overreaction for the Nunthorpe? But it sounds like you're quite positive on it.
No, you're right, and I usually would think that. I'm not someone who likes to get carried away with the next big thing or necessarily always back favourites, but I actually think 7-2 is fair enough given that she's likely to improve. She is unbeaten, and she was really really impressive, and the division isn't that strong, so I wouldn't be complaining about 7-2 anyway.
Okay. Do you think she could be quite exciting, Rosie?
Yeah, I mean she's from the same sire that made Catcher, and we all thought, you know, look what she did this year. So I think she's something to definitely get excited about.
Okay, yeah, be exciting to see. Potentially we could have a bit of a sprinting star, which we do need in this country for sure, with the sprinting division not at its best, like Maddie said. You know, we want something to come out and really blow us away, and potentially Royal Acclaim could be that. Now, there's a look back at York and Ascot. Join us in just a moment for the final part, where we'll look back at the Group One in France and also get the naps for the week ahead.
Stay ahead of the field with Racing Post Members Club, featuring unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive online content, replays from all UK and Irish racecourses, and more. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22 to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. Head to racingpost.com/postcast to find out more.
Welcome back to the postcast with Sam, Maddie and Rosie. The final race we're going to look back at is the Prix Jean Prou, which was the Group 1 race over 7 furlongs there at Deauville, won by Tenebrism, who's got her way in her Group 1 that a lot were expecting for her to do this season. Maddie, do you think she could be what's called, what I like to call them, a 7-furlong specialist? Do you think this distance made for her?
I think so. But I also think she has options in other races. I mean, just looking at her entries, she's got an entry in the Sussex over a mile, obviously, and in the Sprint Cup at Haydock over six. So it'd be interesting to see which way she's campaigned by a top sprinter over six furlongs in Caravaggio, but her dam at Mortalverse obviously got the mile when she was trained in France. So it's a great pedigree, this. Pedigree Geek's probably really happy that Tenebrism managed to get her Group 1 as a three-year-old. Traditionally, this isn't the strongest Group 1. I mentioned Intelligent earlier on. He won it a couple of years ago. But this year's race was had fair enough a fair amount of depth. Light Infantry ran a nice race for second. And Lucille, who brought the St. James's Palace form into play, was third. Modern Games was sent off the favourite. He could finish fifth. And then we have others in behind. Mangosteen disappointed again. New Energy probably ran his race, but this was a muddling race in terms of the form and the way it's going to work out. I'm not sure. I thought it was a great ride from Ryan Moore, who of course was jet setting back from rides in America and came to ride Tenebrism. For me, I wasn't sure this filly would necessarily train on this year. I certainly didn't think she was a miler. For all she ran really well behind in Spiral in the Coronation Stakes, I'd like to see her maybe over six furlongs, given the boot she showed as a juvenile.
Okay, Rosie, I'm not sure if it's a race that you caught much of from the weekend, but Ireland and Britain had the first three home with Light Infantry and Lasalle back in second and third, like Maddie said. Was there much you took from the race at all?
I agree with Maddie. It looked like it was actually quite a strong race. And I thought Tenebrism, she's a nice filly. I was a little bit disappointed with her at Ascot, but to see her go and win this, even if it's not the strongest, but still kind of strong, is great. I think she'll go on to do a lot more.
Tenebrism is an exciting horse. I think a lot of people are excited about this horse at the start of the season, and she is really showing what she can do.
It's another alcohol-free, Sam. She could go over six. What are we going to do with that?
I mean, you mentioned the Sussex there, but I was surprised with the seven furlong. I was surprised they didn't have just a little entry in the Lennox as well, which I think is one of the, there's not too many. I don't think we have a Group 1 seven furlong race in this country. I think we only have Group 2s over seven furlongs. I don't know whether that's true, Maddie, but I believe so. Can you think of a race?
I can't think of a race. Of course, the obvious one is the race on Arc Day, isn't it? The Prix de la Forêt, which could be one for her. But no, I think she's shown enough pace to have a go at six, maybe in the Sprint Cup at Haydock. But equally, you know, she's probably worth another go at a mile if they think so, particularly the Sussex Stakes. I mean, a lot of that's downhill and perhaps would suit her, given that she has a good turn of foot and a good finishing effort.
Yeah, I'm hoping Plenty don't run scared of Baid, and obviously Alcohol Free, the owners have said they're going to be going there, and you never know, Tenebrism might turn up as well. Hopefully we have another hot race on the South Downs. Right, let's get into the naps then.
This will not be beaten.
Let's see if the ladies can give us a winner for later in the week. Maddie, you don't get the opportunity usually as the host to give a nap when hosting the show. So here's your opportunity. Who is it going to be for you this week?
God, no pressure. To be honest, Sam, if I fancy one, sometimes I am cheeky and I just say one. And then if I don't, I don't have to. So that's a tip. That's a tip for you for the next couple of weeks. If you do fancy one, make sure to give yourself that opportunity. Now, I'm not confident this week, I must admit, but I've gone for a horse trained by Amanda Perrott. It's called Sir Joseph Swan. He's going to run in the 1:30 at Bath tomorrow. If you watch his run back at Salisbury last time, he was quite eye-catching, travelled strongly, got buffeted about a little in the closing stages, but came with a really sustained challenge. The third from that race has won twice since, so that boosts the form a little, and I think this is a good opportunity to get off the mark. So Sir Joseph Swan for me in the 1:30 at Bath tomorrow.
Okay, 1:30 at Bath tomorrow, Sir Joseph Swan, that'll be interesting. And Rosie, who should our listeners be looking out for the week ahead?
Dad's going to be upset about this because it might ruin. Well, I think he's ruined his own chances here. Ideal guest for us. He won two at the Bounce on Brighton. He's finally realised he's a racehorse. Now that we've put blinkers across Noseman and a ring belt on him, it's finally dawned on him what we're actually asking of him. And him and Tom seem to be the dream team at the moment. He's headed to Epsom. We think, obviously, he quite likes the twists and turns of Brighton, so should like Epsom on Thursday in the 8:10. And he clearly likes running at 8 o'clock at night. So it all looks positive. He went out this morning. I went out with him. I led him up the canter, and he's still full of himself after, you know, two in the space for a couple of weeks. So he's got a good chance there, as long as nothing comes along and ruins the party for us. But hopefully we'll be three on the bounce.
Okay, so 1:30 at Bath for Maddie tomorrow. That's Sir Joseph Swan. And then Thursday at 8:10, ideal guest at Epsom for Rosie and her dad, George. That'll be interesting. Hopefully that goes well. And there we go. That's it. Bruce will be back on Friday for a preview of the Newbury Super Sprint and the Irish Oaks. Looking forward to that. Big thanks, as always, to my guests, Maddie Plough and Rosie Margs. And do remember to subscribe on whatever platform you are listening to us on. And as always, do remember to gamble responsibly. Thanks for listening.